Welcome to Talking Technology with VI Labs. At VI Labs, we believe technology is the single greatest enabler for people with sight loss and all disabilities. If you're looking for the latest news and conversation on tech from a more accessible perspective, you've come to the right place.
Indeed you have. Hello and welcome in to Talking Technology with VI Labs, episode number 50. Yes, we have hit the big 5-0. We will be partying hard this evening, I tell you. Definitely not, unfortunately. But yes, we have hit the big 5-0, Talking Technology, episode number 50. And we've got a really cool show coming up for you over the next hour or so. Hope you enjoyed the long weekend. Did you get a nice break? Did you get that extra few hours in bed? It was great having the Monday off, just being able to relax, to, you know, take it easy. And also, I got, over the weekend, I got to play around with my talking air fryer. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on in the show. Yes, we've got a absolutely packed show, packed to the rafters. We're celebrating our 50th show. So we've got so much cool stuff coming up. We'll have tech news later on. We'll be talking about audio described ads from Google. That's a really interesting one. And you'll also be able to hear a sneak peek of a new audio described ad. And we'll be telling you all about the details later on in the show. And we are also in Quick Picks going to be talking all things kitchen stuff and doing all stuff in the kitchen, whether you're a baking fan or you just want to get into the cooking a little bit. We'll be talking about all that later on in the show. Now, usually at this point in the show, I will be telling you all about the contact details, but, well, it's episode 50, so we'd have to do something a little bit special, wouldn't we? And that is exactly what we're going to do. We have something really cool and shiny and new to share, and I get to press some really cool, exciting new buttons. So let's do this thing, shall we? Yes, so we are excited to finally, this has taken forever, to finally announce that you can now get in touch with Talking Technology by sending WhatsApp voice notes. We have got a brand new WhatsApp number and you can send voice notes to the show, and who knows, maybe we will play some of them here on the show and you'll be able to share your tech thoughts, your opinions. You can agree with us, you can disagree with us. It's great. You'll be able to interact with the show. Now, the number you need, and we'll be plugging this everywhere, so don't worry if you don't get it now, we'll be plugging it everywhere, but the number you need is 086-199-0011. So 086-199-0011. Now you might be saying, well, David, I've never sent a WhatsApp voice note before, and that's totally fine, but how do you do it? Well, when you're in the WhatsApp chat interface, you can do it quite simply using VoiceOver. So when you're in the chat interface, I'll just show you here now.
Talking Technology, heading.
You then go to the bottom right-hand corner.
Voice message button.
And there is a voice message button. Then all you've got to do is double tap and hold. And then you are recording. So I can now record my voice message just like this. So this is a really cool voice message. Hope everybody's enjoying the show so far. And then when I'm done recording, all I do is lift my finger. And like that.
Your voice message. Duration. 15 seconds. 12. 13 p.m. Sent. Current position.
And you will see that it has sent. And it is as simple as that. Yes, I'm really, really, I must say, I am excited to get these voice notes up and running. So please do get in touch. We really do want to hear from you. Don't call that number because we won't be able to get your audio that way. You want to send a voice note on WhatsApp. That's the only way we can get the audio and that's the only way we can share it on the show. So please do send us your WhatsApp voice notes. Maybe you tried a new piece of technology and you want to tell us your thoughts. Send it over to us. We'd love to hear about it. Or maybe you just want to comment on a topic that we've had on the show, we would absolutely love to hear from you. So please absolutely do get in touch. And we have actually had, would you believe it or not, we plugged the number in some of our technology clubs last week. And a few people did get in touch. And I think it's time we should listen to some voice notes. And to join me to listen to some exciting voice notes for the very first time here on Talking Technology, it's the one and only Mr. Joe Lonergan. Joe, how are you?
Hi, David. I'm good, thanks.
Joe, are you a fan of the voice notes yourself? Do you send many voice notes?
I occasionally send a few voice notes, yeah. I find them very handy to get a quick message across, you know, in on those occasions when it's not possible to type a text message or something, and you just say, look, I'll send a quick voice note. Well, sometimes it ends up being longer than it should be, but yeah, you get the message across and you lift your finger and off it goes, and it successfully delivers to the person, and as long as they have the space to listen to it, it's great.
Yeah, absolutely. I must say I'm a big user of voice notes, and I've got a lot of voice note, you know, bad habits. I will, like, I've sent 10-minute voice notes before, Joe. Which I don't think you're meant to do, but hey, if you're going to have a conversation, like, yeah, you could go on a phone call, but who wants to do that? It's easier than writing out a long message. You can just explain, and, you know, you can hear the tone of people's voice as well, which is great, isn't it?
Well, so, 10 minutes over the top, David, we'll say no
true.
More.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think we'll be playing any 10-minute voice notes on Talking Technology, but who knows? Maybe it might be a really cool 10-minute demo of some technology. Who knows what might happen?
No, but I get the message. That's pardon the pun, but it's a good idea. Send in a voice note, get your point across, and you don't have to keep typing and putting commas and full stops and all that kind of stuff. But I have a habit of sounding like a robot in some of my voice notes, because I think my brain is like, are you dictating this or are you sending a voice note? You know what I mean? It comes, you have to get it right, you know what I mean? But once you get used to sending voice notes, it is a cool way of sending messages.
Absolutely. So shall we listen to some voice notes then? The first voice notes we got last week was this message from Dominique, who was telling us how much she enjoys the Talking Technology podcast.
You hear me waiting for the Dublin Technology Group. I love the podcasts. I listen every week and find them very interesting and informative. And I also love the newsletter. It keeps me so up to date with everything technology wise. The Labs team are doing a fantastic job. I'd be lost without them. Thank you, guys.
And thank you, Dominique, for sending that in. It's brilliant to get feedback like that, Joe. It is really fantastic, isn't it? And thank you so much, Dominique. Dominique has really been a brilliant supporter of the podcast and newsletters over the last little while. And we really do appreciate it, because even that little bit getting the word out, it makes such a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, Dominique is a great advocate for accessible technology, and as you can see, she's a great fan of the show. Did you send her €50 in the post there for that comment, David?
It was actually more, Joe. It was slightly more expensive, but yeah, it's great, and thank you so much to Dominique for sending that in. Someone else who got in touch and last week was Robbie Ford, and Robbie was telling us about his thoughts on the Rabbit R1, which we were chatting about in the previous show.
Hi lads, it's Robbie Ford here. Just about your Talking Technology podcast, it's brilliant. Just listening to a few of them. I was listening to one there with Joe talking about the Ring doorbell. I'm just after being listening to one about the R1 Rabbit. I actually have the laptop open here in front of me. I'm just looking it up. Just very informative. The sound is very clear as well. And I look forward to the next one. All right. Congratulations, and talk to you soon. Take care. Bye.
So there you go. Yeah. Have you been thinking much more about the Rabbit R1 show since we chatted about it last time?
Actually, first of all, thanks, Robbie, for that great comment. We're glad to be giving you this information, and hopefully we'd love to hear if you do decide to purchase the Rabbit R1. But David, I do hear you have pre-ordered the Rabbit R1.
I haven't
pre-ordered myself, but I am looking forward to hearing what you have to say about it.
Yeah, no, I decided after the podcast last week, we were chatting, and I was like, do you know what? I might as well live a little. So I went for it, Joe. And I'm interested to see like whether it'll be good or bad. I'm kind of, you know, in two minds about it. I've seen some posts on TikTok since, and it seemed a bit sluggish and stuff. And there's always the argument of, well, could you not just use Siri on your phone or something? But I'm interested to see whether it will be good. And yeah, I decided, you know what? Let's live a little. So I ordered one.
Yeah, I'm wondering, for the price of €200, that was a thought of mine. Maybe it will be sluggish. Sometimes you have to pay the big bucks to get something that has some performance chip inside. You know what I mean? So I'm really looking forward to seeing what accessibility options are on it, and if it's usable, and also if it's easy to link up your account, such as Netflix, Spotify, or any of those automation accounts. You might have flick buttons or heating controls and different things that you might want to automate and use AI to help you in your life. So here we go. We'll hopefully hear soon. Is it March or when is the pre-order coming?
I think
David?
Mine isn't just set to come to June or July. I'm in the fifth wave, but I think officially, yeah, it is shipping on Easter. So I think that is, yeah, in March we'll probably start to hear real reviews of it. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. I never even thought about using it for the flick buttons until you just said it there. But that's an exciting concept. Who knows what will become of it. But thank you so much, Robbie, as well, for getting in touch. Really appreciate it. And yeah, if you get an R1 Rabbit before me, do send us in a voice note. Tell us more about it. And yeah, really, really appreciate that. And also, he was quite complimentary of the sound there as well. And that's something that we've worked really hard on. So thank you so much, Robbie, for that as well. We did have one other voice note come in, Joe. And this is from the one and only Mr. Dorian Salzman.
Hi, I'd like to suggest some topics for discussion. When are you going to be talking about hoverboards? Now, don't tell me they don't exist, because I know they do. Somebody's covering them up. So can you please start talking about them? Thank you.
There you go. Dorian, of course, a technology trader in Dublin there. Eager for us to cover hoverboards. Joe, have you come across any hoverboards?
Hoverboards, yeah. Dorian, great to hear an Australian accent on the show, David. And hoverboards, I haven't heard that much about them. I think Dorian's watching too much Back from the Future. But as you know, some of the best ideas have come from Back from the Future. I think I remember looking at Marty McFly with an iPad-style device, and look at it, we're all using iPads and
yeah, it's true.
Tactile or touchscreen phones. So, yeah, cool.
I'm actually controlling all the voice note audio and stuff like that here from an iPad. I don't think we'd have foreseen that in any way, shape or form down the road. But there you go. It's always, times are changing. And who knows, maybe hoverboards will be around and floating around before we know it, Joe.
What a mobility device that would be.
Yeah, it would have to be like one of those self-driving cars. Like we talked about it. I can't remember whether we spoke about it on Talking Technology. I know we definitely did in the newsletter, but around the self-driving cars and stuff, it would have to be like a self-driving hoverboard, I think, for it to be accessible to visually impaired people. But hey, you never know what can happen. There's stranger things out there for sure.
Yeah, technology is moving so fast. Who knows? We'll watch this space with hoverboards. Thanks for the comment, Dorian.
Thanks so much, Dorian. Yeah, exciting stuff. And of course, if you do want to send a voice note into us, we would absolutely love to hear from you. The number that you need again is 086-199-0011. So 086-199-0011. You can send us a voice note there on WhatsApp. We do also on our YouTube channel have some guides around sending WhatsApp voice notes if you need them. Don't call that number, as I say. If you do call it, you'll just hear a little automated message that will tell you to send a voice note, because we can't pull the audio from those voicemail services and all that. So please do send us a WhatsApp voice note, 086-199-0011. Now, something that I was playing around with over the long weekend, it finally came in the post. I was really, really excited to finally get my hands on the Cobalt Talking Air Fryer. This air fryer, it seems like it had been, talked about, I think, for quite a while. But I finally managed to get one. They came back in stock there in January. And I got one. I decided to pay the money and see what happens. I did, unfortunately, it was £99. But I did unfortunately get caught for customs, which was a bit of a dose. You know, you forget about that sometimes. But it did come just before the weekend. So I decided to record the unboxing and plug it in and see whether it was any good. Whether I would recommend it. So here's what happened. Let's take a trip to my kitchen, shall we? And explore my very first, very, very first impressions of the Cobalt Talking Air Fryer.
So in front of me is a product. It's in a box at the moment, but it's a product that I have been waiting on for quite a long time. It is the new Cobalt Talking Air Fryer. So I'm going to take it out of its box, see what it's all about. We aren't going to review this today. We will probably do a more in-depth review in a few weeks on Tech on Tap. But I am excited to get my first impressions. So I have taken all of the tape off the box. There was quite a bit of tape on the box, and there is a lot of just the first thing I feel is kind of like a confetti kind of style. A lot of paper just to cushion it. I'm going to take this kind of out of the box, and I'm going to lift the actual air fryer out, and I'll put that down there for a second, and I will put the cardboard box on the floor beside me. So here it is. It is smaller and lighter than I initially thought. The box, it's much lighter than I thought, actually, a bit smaller, but I think this is around 4 kilos, about 4 or 5 kilos. It's not quite 5 kilos. I'm just going to turn this around. So nice packaging so far. I'm just opening it up, and it's very well packed. So there is a booklet here at the top, a kind of a magazine style booklet. And I believe, oh, you don't see this much these days, there is a CD here. So I'm assuming these are the instructions, but there is actually there's a recording of the instructions online, so I'm assuming this is what I've already heard, so I'll put that aside for now. There is a second smaller magazine, only a few pages in that one, so I'm going to put that to the side. And there is some styrofoam. I hate the feeling of styrofoam, so I'm going to throw that to the floor. And then in some plastic, there's more kind of just packing stuff, which I will dump to the side. But in a plastic here, I feel what seems like, and I will take this out, I have an air fryer. And there it is, out of its box. And there's just some extra padding in that cardboard there. So I will dump that to the side. So let's move this to the center of the table for a second. And here it is. It's in just a normal kind of plastic bag. You can hear that. I'm going to unwrap it. And there is a a three-pin. Yep, they have got a three-pin plug here. They did, when I was ordering this, they did ask if I wanted a three-pin plug because they weren't too sure what types of plugs we had in Ireland. But I told them, yeah, it was a European, or a UK rather, three-pin. And that is what I've got. So I'm going to just take the last bit of plastic off this. And then we'll plug it in, I guess, and hear how it sounds. But just throw that plastic to the side. And oh, I can hear more plastic on it. Where's that? What's around the base? Okay, let's pick this up and dump that to the side. I'm making a mess on the floor, but that's okay. So, okay, so this is slightly different to what I expected. It's round, so kind of cylindrical. I don't know why, but I expected it to be more squared off, but it's not. It's round. And there is a handle at the front, so I'm assuming this is the drawer. How does this drawer mechanism work? So there's a thing I think that you pull. Okay, it definitely doesn't pull straight out. Do you push? Okay, I'm not too sure how you do this. There's definitely a little kind of bit that you can kind of press and move on the top, but I'm not sure quite how the release works just yet. Okay. Do you push it down? Okay, I'm not sure how that works, so we'll have to come back to that in a second. And I don't think there's a handle. There's a kind of a flat thing at the top as well, which feels like has some movement to it, but it's very well built. And it has a kind of an air grill to the bottom. So I am going to have to try and work out how to open this drawer. But I will come back to you once I've worked this out, and I will tell you exactly how it works. Okay, so update. So I now know how I'm opening this. It turns out there was a sticker on the front that was blocking the kind of opening drawer. But I'm able to open it now. So you just pull this, and that seals in pretty nicely. So you just pull the thing back and then you open it out. And in this, when you get it, there's a little like cooking like base for the, I don't know what those are actually called, but the kind of air thing for inside the drawer. It comes in a kind of a plastic wrap. So I will unwrap that and dump it to the side. And that just sits, we'll put the drawer to the side there. So that just sits in there. And I can just slide this drawer back in and it slots in like that. All right, we might as well plug it in. I'm not feeling, just from first impressions, I'm not feeling any real physical buttons. There are, I don't think those are in the drawer, but they're not. So just above the drawer, there are little round circles. They don't seem to push in or anything. So I'm interested to see if those are the buttons. I can't feel any particular distinctive layout right now, but let's plug it in and see what happens, shall we? Hopefully it will like talk straight off the bat. It would be nice. So I'm just removing the, oops, there's a bit of a plastic thing. I don't know what that is, and it's after going, ooh. Oh, it's a cover off the plug. So I don't need that, that's fine. So let's, the lead is kind of short. I'm just untying the cable tie that is around it now. And then we shall plug it in, and hopefully it will start speaking to us straight away. Whether there will be some kind of instruction or anything to it. Well, that lead is quite short. That I don't think is even a meter. Okay, so I'm going to have to move things around here because I hoped it would be slightly longer. But let's move things around here slightly. Give me 1 second. Okay, and I have a bit more space now, so let's... Oh, that's still not going to stretch. Let's just move this around here and plug it on in. Does that switch need to be turned on? It does. Okay. No instant feedback anyway. Okay, I do kind of see it glowing, so let's see. Okay, I'm just kind of poking. Oh, there we go. Okay, so the power. Okay, so...
190 degrees C.
Okay, interesting. So you don't press any buttons. It's touch sensitive, which I think is a really interesting design choice. Wouldn't have been my design choice, personally. But however, so that I'm assuming is...
17 minutes, 16 minutes, 15 minutes.
Okay, so that goes down minutes-wise. And then what's this do?
Cook potatoes, cook fish, 180 degrees C, 20 minutes. Cook vegetables, 160 degrees C, 30 minutes.
Okay, so that is... Okay, so there seems like there's 1, 2, 3, I think that's power, 4, 5... yeah, there's 5 buttons here. Okay, so the top left, I think, is for minutes.
29 minutes, 28 minutes, 27 minutes, 26 minutes.
Okay, so that decreases minutes.
25 minutes.
And then what happens over the other side? Does that increase them?
26 minutes, 27 minutes.
It does. Okay, so the right goes up and the bottom goes down. Under that is temperature. No, those are... that's for the presets.
Cook meat, 180 degrees C. Cook poultry, 190 degrees C, 20 minutes.
Okay, and then on the other side, I thought that was power. So what's this do?
190 degrees C, 20 minutes. 190 degrees C. 190 degrees C.
Okay, so that seems like it's kind of a repeat button. So I don't know how to adjust the temperature exactly. But I'm assuming then the middle is just a start.
Start. Cook poultry. 190 degrees C. 20 minutes.
Okay, and there it goes. There it has... it has definitely started. And does that stop it again?
Power off.
Power off. Okay, it's continuing to do its fan thing there, I think. But that's just standard. Okay, this is interesting. I need to really work out... it is not being... I think they mentioned this in the instructions, actually, that the touchpad...
power, start, default, 200 degrees C, 18 minutes, power off.
Okay, so the rest of the buttons, when the power starts, it becomes inactive. And, yeah, okay, it has officially stopped its buzzing and stuff there. So can I just press buttons now again? No, it seems to have locked. Does that mean it's completely switched itself off?
Power, start, default, power off.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so you have to kind of wait for the fan to stop after it's... So I've powered it off there. I have to wait for the fan to stop again now for it to actually let me interact with it a bit more. Which is a really interesting design choice. I wonder why the hell they didn't just put buttons on the thing, because it's very like touch sensitive. It seems like yes, the buttons are distinctive, or the kind of touch areas. So that stopped there now. So in theory, I just push power on. So I have to feel very carefully so I don't like accidentally press buttons here.
Power.
Okay, power. So let's press these buttons or feel or tap these.
190 degrees C, 180 degrees C.
Okay, so wait now, because that was controlling the time a minute ago. So that was a minute ago that was controlling the time. So
17 minutes, 16 minutes, 15 minutes, 14 minutes.
Oh, it's alternating between them. Okay, so you... it alternates them every couple of seconds.
170 degrees C, 160 degrees C, 150 degrees C, 160 degrees C, 170 degrees C.
That's a really strange design choice. So the buttons for controlling the temperature and the time are the exact same, and it just alternates between them. Why wouldn't you have those as separate buttons? I don't really understand that, but fair enough. The default button, I mean, that makes sense that you just...
cook potatoes, 180 degrees C, 30 minutes.
Potatoes, okay, fair enough.
Start, cook potatoes, 180 degrees C, 30 minutes.
Okay, let me try and see if I can set this just for 1 minute. So I'm going to stop power that off for a second. And I'm going to, when this resets, I'm going to see if I can just set it for a simple 1 minute so we can hear like the complete sequence. So when it's actually done cooking. So far, this is a really interesting, some really interesting design choices, like why they didn't separate the buttons for the temperature and the time. I don't know. And why they're not actual physical buttons, I really don't know. Those seem like obvious design things to me as someone who would be designing a product for someone with sight loss. But who knows? Maybe I will come to like really like those features. I don't know. I'll have to wait and see. The actual buttons are distinctive enough, though, as in the areas that you touch, they've got circles, they've got raised circles around them. So that is somewhat clear. Okay, let's set this for a minute and see if it'll even let me do that.
Power.
Okay, so I've done power and find the
190 degrees C.
So I have to wait now for that to toggle. So yeah, see, that seems so strange. You can't really, like, go quick with it.
17 minutes, 16 okay, minutes, 14 minutes, down here. 13 minutes, 12 minutes, 11 minutes, 10 minutes, 9 minutes, 8 minutes, 7 minutes, 6 minutes, 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute.
Okay, 1 minute, let's start.
Start. 190 degrees C, 1 minute.
All right, let's see how this goes. It is grand and quiet.
50 seconds remaining.
Ooh, 50 seconds remaining. It's kind of cool in terms of the voice. The voice I like.
40 seconds remaining.
And it's not that loud. It's very... it's a normal kind of air fry sound. It's not particularly loud.
30 seconds remaining.
It's quite close to the microphone right now. But it isn't actually... that bad, to be fair.
20 seconds remaining.
20 seconds remaining. Will it give us a full-on countdown? Let's see.
10. 9.
Yes, it will.
8,
let's go.
7.
We're heading to 6, the moon, boys.
5. 4. 3.
Oh, I love it.
2. 1.
And lift off. Oh, wow, that's loud.
Fryer temperature high.
That is very loud, that little chirp at the end there. Wow. You definitely know that it's done. And it said there straight away, fryer temperature high. I think it repeats that every, I don't know, is it 20 or 30 seconds for 2 minutes? Which it seems
fryer
like...
fryer temperature high.
Yeah, so that could be... but I'm assuming it only does that like 4 times. So that's... and there I hear the fan has wound down there. So I don't know if that's powered off now or whether it's going to continue saying fryer temperature high. We'll see. But yeah, all in all.
Fryer temperature high.
Yeah, it's still going to babble on there. What an interesting little product. So there is a few things to note with this. I did get caught for customs. So this cost £99. Plus, I think it was like £17 for shipping.
Fryer temperature high.
And yeah, I got caught on customs for like €32, I think it was. So just be aware that that is something that you will probably run into, that the price can be a bit deceiving. I think all in all, this came in and around
fryer temperature
160.
High.
160 euro, and it is a single drawer. It is a single drawer device, so that is one to be aware of. But all in all, Yeah, a really interesting product, and it is cool to have an accessible air fryer.
Fryer temperature.
As assistive technologies go, I mean, €160 isn't brutal, I guess. But yeah, we will have, hopefully in a few weeks' time, we will have a full review of this on Tech on Tap. So be sure to sign up for that on vi.ie. On vi.ie, that'll definitely get stuck in your head, fryer temperature high. But yeah, I'm really interested to see what becomes of this. I think it's cool. It's certainly more accessible, I think, than the last one we have. The last one we have is purely touch sensitive and doesn't talk at all, so it's not really accessible at all. So this is definitely an improvement. But how good it will be, whether my first impressions remain true, that is all yet to be determined. So be sure to sign up for Tech on Tap on vi.ie, and we'll see how we go with this Cobalt Talking Air Fryer, the Speechmaster Cobalt Talking Air Fryer.
And there you have it. So that is my unboxing of the air fryer. And as I say, we will review it in more detail on vi.ie in the near future. It's really interesting. I get the impression, and I can bring you in there, Joe. I get the impression that there were some design choices that in hindsight have made me think maybe like it's custom software, but maybe they're using someone else's hardware, because I don't know why you wouldn't have physical buttons on it, for example, unless you were using someone else's hardware to cut the cost a bit.
Yeah, I agree, David. I think when you're making a talking product like that, I think to have the buttons as tactile as possible would be the preferred solution for 99% of vision impaired and blind people. But saying that, I do commend their efforts on making a talking air fryer, something similar to the talking microwave that they had out years ago, and they probably still have a version of it. But I am impressed with a lot of features there. But I suppose, if you ask me, do I like it? I'd semi-like it, I suppose. It's a lot of talking pollution, put it that way. It's a little bit too much voice feedback for my liking. But I wouldn't put anybody off it, because other people with sight loss would love that sight, that talking, that feedback, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I wonder, like, is there an argument that they could, in some sense, have some of, like, the, voice information portrayed a little bit through sound a bit more? I don't know. It's really interesting. I'm excited to kind of play around with it. I haven't got to do a whole lot of cooking in it yet, because I only got it over the weekend. But it's really, like, and I agree with you, I think it's brilliant to see definitely an accessible solution out there. I do think, you know, those buttons are a bit sensitive, that, you know, a few times there you will have heard that I tried to press the power and it was like power start, you know, and it straight away started because it was like I double pressed it. So it is quite sensitive. So you do have to be aware of that. But all in all, I do have to commend Cobalt, because it is, I think, and to offer it at the price that they have, yes, I got caught for customs, but that aside, that's not Cobalt's fault. The fact that it's £160, I mean, people will pay that for a normal air fryer, Joe.
Yeah, it is quite reasonable, actually. They're not trying to rip anybody off, which is great to see for an accessible product with speech built in. It is an average price for an air fryer, between the 100 and €160 mark. Obviously, you go for the better brands or more expensive brands. Yeah, you could pay the 200, 300 mark for an air fryer. It might not be accessible, but you can surely make an effort and make it accessible in your own way. I like it, and I think there is an awful lot of speech. I will say that again, especially the countdown. Yeah, that's cool. The first time, use it maybe the 50th, 60th time you're here, yeah, like, come on, yeah. don't need that countdown
right now.
You
don't need to go to the moon every night for dinner.
What's that? Say that, David.
You don't need to go to the moon every night for dinner, you know?
Not every night, no. And if you're doing a bit of late night cooking, I don't think we want a nice discreet cooker as well. As you said, if we had different types of feedback, maybe some low kind of decimal beep noises or something like that for different occasions that you might need it, if there was a way of switching off some of the speech. I'll never give out about speech as such, but we should be able to maybe configure it more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think, you know, there are some things, like I do think that kind of complete sound, like it's just a very, very loud beep. Like I do think they could have maybe had a bit of a nicer sound for that. But yeah, generally, all in all, I got to hand it to Cobalt for that. Just one very minor correction from what I was saying in the audio there. I mentioned that it was 4 or 5 kg or 4 or 5 kilograms. What I meant to say was it was 4 or 5 liters. It is quite a small air fryer, as air fryers go, and it is, as I said, single drawer, so just be aware of that. But that is perfectly reasonable, I guess, if you're, you know, if it's just a single person or a couple, that might do the job just fine. But if you have a family, it might not be exactly what you're looking for, so just keep that in mind for sure. Joe, you're using a Ninja air fryer at the moment, I think.
Yes, I'm using a Ninja air fryer with last year and 3 or 4 months, I suppose. It's a Ninja AF300. It's a dual air fryer. It's got two drawers, that means, you know. So you could cook fries in one side, maybe, and waffles in the other, or chicken nuggets in the other side, or whatever your preference is. And so Ninja AF300 is the brand, but you can make it accessible in your own way, as I did. I put locator dots on certain buttons, like vision impaired and blind people have been doing for years with their washing machines and their ovens and their microwaves. They've been putting pump ons and locator dots on it and memorizing where things are. So I find that works for me on this particular air fryer. So I'd have a locator dot on the turn on button, so that turns the machine on first of all, and then the next thing I do, if I'm just going to the default air fry, which would be 200 degrees at 20 minutes, obviously I won't leave it at 20 minutes most of the time, I'd press air fry, which has a bump on it, and then I press start, which has another bump on it, and off you go. My air fryer starts at 200 degrees, which is most of my meals, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then I'll set the Lady A or my smart speaker of whatever design, I will just tell it to put the timer on for 8 minutes or 11 minutes or whatever my recommended cooking suggestion is.
Sure. And you actually just sent in a voice note, which I love. You're using the new capabilities that we've got here. You sent in a voice note demoing just how you do that when you were at home earlier on. So this is how you're using the Ninja air fryer.
Hi guys, I'm just doing a little recording to let you hear what the Ninja air fryer AF300 sounds like. This is a dual air fryer. I'm just going to turn it on now with the on button, which I have a little locator dot on, and that's your Ninja sound. Now I'm going to press air fry, and now I'm going to press the start button, which is in the top right, and that also has a locator dot. And there you go, you can hear it starting up. There's probably a little bit of air blowing from the back, and that's the Ninja AF300.
So there you have it. I mean, that is, and it's got a nice sound to it too, Joe, doesn't it? It's a nice little chirpy, that little doo-doo-doo, that, like, I like it. Personally.
That's your Ninja signature sound, and then you have your white noise in the background, David. What more do you want?
Yeah, exactly. It's brilliant. Handy. Some people would enjoy that going to sleep. We don't recommend that now. That's quite dangerous. But some people are into that for sure. Joe, thank you so much. And as we said, if you are looking for information on those air fryers, we will have more coverage on Tech on Tap in a few weeks' time. So be sure to go to vi.ie and sign up for Tech on Tap. And there's great tech news in there every single week. And we will have tech news right here in just a few minutes as well on Talking Technology. So do stick around. Don't go anywhere. But if you do want to get in touch with us, and we're going to plug it so many times over the next little while, you can still use the old email address, content@vi.ie. That's content@vi.ie. But the new and shiny way to get in touch with Talking Technology is to use WhatsApp voice notes. And that number that you need is 086-199-0011. 086-199-0011. So with that said, please do get in touch, and maybe you'll want to get in touch with some of the topics in our tech news.
This is Talking Technology News.
With your latest Talking Technology News, I'm Daniel Dunn. So Google will have an ad in this year's Super Bowl featuring open audio description. The San Francisco 49ers take on Kansas City Chiefs this weekend, but for many people, the ads that air during the event are way more interesting. Among the ads this year is an ad for Google Pixel, which contains open audio description. This means the audio description is broadcast to all viewers and can't be disabled. The ad features a blind filmmaker and shows off some accessibility features on the Pixel phones. It's amazing to see accessibility front and center on such a large stage. So well done, Google, for that. In other news, the Game Accessibility Awards have taken place, and we now know who has won. The awards had a total of 19 categories, but we are going to focus on the category for those who are visually impaired or blind. Each category had three different nominees. In the blind and low vision category of accessible gaming, the nominees were Forza Motorsport, Mortal Kombat 1, and Stories of Blossom. The overall winner in this category was Forza Motorsport. With a series of beeping sounds and engine noise, as well as some voice commands and audio description, the game has many creative solutions to make it more accessible. Of course, there is a big learning curve to a game like this, but when you fully learn the game, it is very rewarding and stimulating, and a great challenge if you like your car games. It is also one way someone can experience a driving simulation game. Some vision impaired gamers have stated that it is the nearest they have come to driving a car since they had lost their vision. Forza Motorsport is available on the Xbox gaming console. Finally, for now, today is Safer Internet Day. Across Europe, kids today will be learning about how they can stay safe online. Here in Ireland, charity Cyber Safe Kids have released some research with some fascinating statistics. Research from Amorok found that 25% of six-year-olds now have a smartphone. Out of the 900 parents surveyed, over 25% expressed extreme concern about the risk of kids facing online grooming, cyberbullying, and the risk of them accessing pornography. Safer Internet Day encourages parents to talk to their kids about internet safety. Resources are available to support these conversations, and they can be found on cybersafekids.ie. That's it for now, but if you want more news just like this, be sure to check out the Tech on Tap newsletter. You can sign up for it at our website at www.vi.ie. But for now, it's back to you, David.
Thank you, Daniel. That is a fascinating one there. That what was it? 25% of 6-year-olds now have a smartphone. That's a much more than I would have thought, actually. I know a lot of kids now are using smartphones, and that's fair enough. But 25% of 6-year-old Daniel. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I particularly because I said smartphones now, you know, obviously tablets and all that can do pretty much everything, I suppose, excluding making the phone call and the text message. But for a smartphone like that, you know, that gives a way more, I suppose, way of contacting and, you know, getting into messaging, social media, all that kind of thing. So it is kind of concerning that, you know, from that aspect, that 6-year-old children are getting, you know, access to communications and social media and things like that, I think, is at a very, very young age.
Sure.
You know, so yeah, definitely, you know, kind of eyebrow raising that one.
Yeah, especially when you consider, I think like most social networks now, they don't, officially speaking on paper anyway, they don't allow kids on the platforms unless they're over 13. And even then, I think you really need a consent to the parent and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a fascinating statistic. And what was it? Cybersafekids.ie, I think.
Cybersafekids.ie, that's right.
Yeah, if they, if parents who may be listening do want to have those conversations with the kids, there is resources there to do that if that's something that you want. And also there, Daniel, Google have audio description in their ad for the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl gets massive viewership. This is a really big deal, isn't it?
It is, and I know everybody thinks the Super Bowl is American, but there's huge following outside the borders of the United States. I know plenty of people here in Ireland who will actually kind of make it, you know, a party night to stay up to have the pizza, maybe a couple of Budweisers as well.
Yeah, yeah.
If they're not working the next day, and they sit down to watch it, and they watch it live, and they enjoy it. You know, so for something like this to be reaching kind of, it's almost a global audience. You know, it's absolutely brilliant to see, you know, audio description put in front and center on such a big occasion. You know, even if it just opens the door to conversation about more accessible technologies, how technology, you know, can really improve the lives of service users, you know, with visual impairment and other disabilities as well. So, it's fantastic for opening the conversation. It's really kind of, we get the conversation moving, I think.
Absolutely. Now, there is this whole thing, the ad and stuff, I think in its full form, they're airing a 30-second version as part of the Super Bowl, I understand it. But there is a 5-minute extended video. But what we do have here exclusively on Talking to, it's absolutely not exclusive, but we do have a quick short teaser of that audio described ad from Google. And as Daniel was saying there, this is open audio description, so the audio description is baked in, you can't turn it off, which is a really cool thing to see, that this will hopefully give people a little bit more of an insight into what audio description is like. But here is a very quick teaser of this new Super Bowl ad from Google for the Google Pixel.
At a video shoot, a crew member on a ladder uses a handheld artificial snow machine to make snow fall on the actors.
Sight and vision are two different things. We use our sight to map our physical surroundings. Our vision is our imagination. I'm not just a blind film director. I'm a filmmaker who happens to be blind.
Director Adam Morse, a man with green eyes, is dressed in a winter coat and beanie. He smiles slightly.
Making this film allows me to translate the blind experience and put viewers into the point of view of a blind person.
Now, the film crew prepares to shoot in a hospital room. Using his hands, Adam frames the scene for the camera operator, who positions his equipment and uses a specially treated lens to simulate low vision.
So that gives you the idea there of what I think Google were going for with that ad. It's really cool to see. Yeah, absolutely fascinating. Joe, I don't know if you're still there. I think you are. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, audio description for everyone in this way. And Android really upping the game, competing with Apple a bit in terms of accessibility awareness now even.
I think it's brilliant because it shows us another example of accessibility coming to the front, you know. And as we know, look, accessibility and technology itself is the greatest enabler for us as blind people, so or vision impaired people. So yeah, I think it's a great idea, and it just brings that extra bit of awareness. And what better way to get awareness out there all at once, only with the Super Bowl? It probably has the biggest audience of any event than anything else in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe it's the biggest sporting event. The only thing that competes with it, I think, over this side of the world is the Eurovision. So yeah, big events for sure. And hopefully that audio described ad will get more awareness out there. We were talking earlier on about how much companies pay for those adverts. It's like 5 million or more for 30 seconds. And we just gave them, I think, 42 seconds for free. So what are we doing? But anyway, it is brilliant to see. And fair play, Google, for that. Daniel, thank you so much for the tech news this week, as always.
Absolutely.
We will have more tech news on future episodes of Talking Technology. But if you do want to check out more tech news every single Friday, be sure to check out the Tech on Tap newsletter. There is absolutely loads of technology content in that every single week. There is loads. So hopefully you'll find that beneficial and enjoy that too. But now let's move on to some quick picks, shall we?
It's time for VI Labs Quick Picks.
And it is all stuff in the kitchen this week. I feel like saying that is like, you know, we'll hand over to Dahi O'Shea in the kitchen. Joe, kitchen stuff. Do you use much tech in the kitchen?
Well, as mentioned, I used the air fryer. So that's tech, I suppose. And I also used, this is my quick pick this week, is an Amazon Echo smart speaker or any other smart speaker that you desire. And the main reason I say that is I use it as a timer. So you might have heard my little quick demo of the Ninja. Well, after I put on, throw in my part-baked bread, I turn on the air fryer, press bake, and then press start. And I set my timer on the Lady A for 8 minutes, and then I pull out the drawer. So that's the safe way to do it. Mine, just pull the drawer out and leave it on the counter, and my bread is done.
I mean, that's the way to go, isn't it? I mean, handy out. And yeah, that's one way to really do it. And we have it set up in our kitchen as well, that we have a flick button on the extractor fan. So you can just press the button and it announces on all the Alexas in the house and stuff that the dinner is ready. And it might sound silly, but it's actually legitimately really, really useful.
Hey, and David, what about recipes? We can get recipes on Lady A or your Google Home, or so we can say something like, give me a chicken recipe, and it'll suggest a chicken recipe. It'll tell you to gather up the ingredients, and then it'll then you can say next step, or start. You want to start first step or something like that, and it'll speak you through the instructions. You can cut your vegetables and then ask for the next step and then final step and that kind of thing. So it just talks through all the steps, and I find that really useful if I'm doing a recipe that I haven't tried before, or I just want a reminder of some of the ingredients, or maybe the measurements and things like that. So yeah, recipes, it has any amount of recipes. Basically, it pulls them all from BBC Good Food, so you can imagine they're designed and put in very well. So yeah, I find that also useful, David.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's so much handy stuff that you can use for this in the kitchen. One other really handy quick pick that we were going to talk about this week is also those talking like thermometers and weighing scales. And you can get these, you can get them online and stuff, but they're really handy, just those, you know, especially if you're into, like if you're actually actively into cooking, like, you know, baking or whatever the case may be. You might not need it for everything, but having these little accessible items, they can be handy for people for sure, can't they?
Well, a talking thermometer, first of all, it's going to keep you safe. It's going to help avoid things like salmonella or undercooked meat, you know. So, especially for the turkey at Christmas time or Easter, whenever you like to do one. So, yeah, a talking thermometer, really good. I love the idea. Also, this is not tech, but anyone with an air fryer, it's good to maybe invest in some silicone mitts, you know, for maybe if you don't like to throw your food out onto the plate from the actual drawer, empty it out, you can actually pick it out with a silicone mitt.
Yeah, and they are good. We have those at home as well. And you can get them sometimes even, you know, they come in specials in Aldi or Lidl and stuff. And they really are worth it because it does make it so much easier. You do sometimes have to be careful that the bit between like the thumb and the rest of the hand doesn't start to split a little, because then you can, if you're not careful, you can burn yourself. But they are a really, really good, handy tool to have in the kitchen for sure. Those, we call them the oven gloves. I don't know, is that their official term? But that's what we've always called them, is the oven gloves. So yeah, that is that. Joe, thank you so much for sharing all of the stuff in the kitchen. And yeah, you'll have to make us something fancy now for the celebratory, I can't say that word, anyway, I won't even try, but for the party that we're holding for Talking Technology's 50th episode, Joe.
Yeah, well, David, I'll just ask Lady A, give me an air fryer recipe. Give that a go, everybody, and see what it throws back at you. You'll be surprised.
Absolutely brilliant. Joe, thank you so much. And that is nearly our lot for this week's Talking Technology. We did have one question just around the air fryer there, and that was, is there any stickers in the box to put around the buttons or anything? And to the best of my knowledge, and admittedly, I did just throw a lot of the boxes and stuff aside, as you heard. But to the best of my knowledge, the answer to that question is no. So there is raised circles around the buttons, so you can feel where they are if you are careful about feeling where they are. You can very easily manage it. You don't need to see it at all to be able to operate it. You can find the buttons. It's almost like bump ons built in. But my point with that is simply just do be aware that they are sensitive and they are not push buttons. You do, it's literally you just touch them and it detects that. So to the best of my knowledge, no stickers involved. There is raised circles around them though. So yeah, hopefully that answers that question and thank you for it. So that is about our lot for Talking Technology episode 50. We're going to go and party with stuff in Joe's air fryer. And we will be back in 2 weeks' time for another episode of the show. Be sure to subscribe on your podcast app of choice or on the VI Labs YouTube channel. You can find that by just searching VI Labs Accessibility. And in the meantime, we hope you enjoy some of the content that we've got over there for you. If you do want to get in touch with us, we would absolutely love to hear from you. Send us an email to content@vi.ie or use the shiny new WhatsApp number 086-199-0011. That's 086-199-0011. For now, though, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time and enjoy the rest of your week. This is Talking Technology, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Talking Technology podcast with VI Labs. If you'd like to support our show, please visit vi.ie/donate. Talking Technology is proudly sponsored by IA Labs, the market leader in digital accessibility services. IA Labs, digital inclusion, your legal obligation.